Dr. William R. Glaze will host a live Facebook event Tuesday, March 20th, 2018 at 7:30 p.m. During this live event, Dr. Glaze will address the topic, The Real Meaning of Holy Week. Many people see the keys of Holy Week as Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. During this Facebook Live event, Dr. Glaze will demonstrate how the church has mislabeled these Holy Week events while focusing on the wrong things. He will talk about how God was actually working something more powerful through his plan of redemption than what the church observes during this week. There will be an opportunity for you to post your questions or comments, and Dr. Glaze will respond. You can access our Facebook page by going to www.facebook.com/anchoredinJesusMinistries. That's www.facebook.com/anchoredinJesusMinistries. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, The Great Showdown, God versus Man. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of, is there an almighty God or is man his own God?
And they gonna sell it and they gonna peddle it. But there was a cause that's always been here. That there never was a time when God was not. Never was a time when God was not. And again, we can't begin to fathom that. You know, just think about eternity. Now, I'm not talking about eternity in the future. I'm talking about eternity. When did it begin? It didn't begin. It always was. And God always was. And we need to understand that. Right there. If we get that, in the beginning, God. Can't go any further. We got to stop right there. If you go on to that next slide. In the beginning, God. And I tell you what, this series that I'm teaching, and again, I'm going to hand out notes. You got that handout today. But you need to take this and your grandkids, your kids, you need to begin to share this stuff with them. Because they're not going to be able to stay. They don't have a chance. I mean, you just think about it. Kids that grew up in this church. They grew up in this church under Pastor Tane, Pastor Farmer, Pastor Chin, Pastor Glaze, right? And they've been shaken. A lot of them have been shaken. So we taught the stories. We taught the principles. And they got it leaving here. But somehow we didn't get another part. And again, we were in a meeting and we were talking about, you know, we definitely have to make sure that they have a relationship. And we need to work on that relationship too. You know, we need to make sure that our kids, you know, are having a relationship with God. And that they know how to, you know, get into the word, that they know how to pray so that they have that relationship with God. And I firmly believe that that is very important. That is very important they have a relationship with God. But even as we go beyond that, man, we got to get this stuff in them. We got to let them see that God is who he says he is. In the beginning, God. Now, what does that mean? I began to sit down and I began to think about what does this mean when it says, in the beginning, God? Well, the first thing that it means is that, as I already said, that God is eternal. It means that he is eternal. And saints, when did anybody ever teach you that? Or was that something you just learned as you matured in your Christian faith? When did anybody ever sit down and teach you that God is eternal? And that you came up with ideas and illustrations how to get that point across to the children? What does that mean? I mean, it's one thing to say that God is eternal, but it's another thing to teach somebody and get them to understand, what does that mean? Look at Psalm 90. Psalm 90 and verse 2. You can tell I'm fired up this morning. I try to be a little more calmer on First Communion Sunday, but this thing done got under my skin. Psalm 90 and verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, before you laid the foundation of the earth, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Brother Russell, can you give me my towel down there? I usually don't need it up here, but like I said, man, I'm gonna get a little exercise. Thank you. From everlasting, you need to have a grip on that, saints. That needs to hold in your spirit that from everlasting to everlasting, he's God. If you don't believe that, if you struggle with that, then you have the wrong concept of who God is. That before he ever laid a piece of dirt in creation, that he was already around from everlasting. Get that in your spirit. Get that in your spirit. The second thing we see is that before he created anything, that God is self-sufficient. He has never, nor ever, nor will he ever depend on anything else outside of himself to exist. God does not need anything to exist. He exists all by himself. In Psalm 50, verse 12, God said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell anybody. I wouldn't tell a soul. Why? Because I can take care of the need by myself and for myself. There was a lady who was praying lady. And she prayed all the time. And she had an atheist that lived next door. And the atheist knew the lady was praying. And one day the lady had her windows open. She was praying. She said, Lord, I need some food. I need some food, Lord. I got down to my last and I need you to provide. So the atheist, not believing in God, said that, well, I'm going to provide the food. And so that, you know, she will see there is no God. And so they put he went and got the food, bought it, put it on her doorstep. And she came out, saw it. She said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the food. About that time, the atheist popped up and said, there's no God. You know, I'm the one that put that food on your doorstep. And she said, thank you, Lord, for providing the food and using the atheist to pay for it. God is self-sufficient, but he supplies all our needs. It's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. It's in God that we find our sufficiency because he is self-sufficient. And see, again, this affects our walk with God. Because if I don't believe that there's a God who is self-sufficient, then there might be times that he might not be able to meet my needs. There might be times he's not able to take care of me. But when I believe that there is a God that who before, like I said, before he laid a piece of dirt on this earth, that he was complete in himself. He had everything that he needed. So we need to understand the concept of this God. He's an all-powerful God, which means that he has absolute power which extends over all of his creation. It extends over all of his creation. Jeremiah 32, 27. Behold, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do?
We will take a short break from today's teaching.
Greetings, radio friends. Your cry has been heard. The 2018 Biblical Counseling Conference at Bethany Baptist Church, we will be using the Bible to deliver people from the distressing issues of life. This year, we are focusing on toxic relationships. The workshops at this conference will include identifying and recovering from an abusive relationship, counseling teens through troubling times, identifying toxic relationships and how to break free, dealing with toxicity in codependent relationships. All are welcome. This is just not for counselors or pastors. This is for the everyday layperson in the church. There is a early bird registration if you register before March 31st. For more information, visit us at www.bethanybaptist-pgh.org or call 412-246-4463 and mention workshops. We hope to see you there.
We will now return to today's teaching.
You know what? I began to think about something, and I began to think about this. That, you know what? Just knowing that there's a God who's all-powerful makes us feel a little bit better. You know, don't you feel a little bit better when certain things are in order? That when certain things are lined up or certain people are around, you say, man, I feel a little bit better now. You know, I was a little concerned before, but I feel a lot better now. And you know, don't you feel better knowing that there's an all-powerful God who is over all of his creation? That gives me hope. That's a hope that the atheist doesn't have. What hope does the atheist have? That if they get in a terrible situation and they want to get, somebody, you know, we can't dialogue right now, but I welcome emails. I welcome emails. Somebody tell me that who does the atheist hope in? I mean, you might say the doctor. Well, I mean, that the doctor is just a man just like me, right? So who does the atheist hope in? Who does he hope in? And the mere fact, and I'm going to venture out and say this. Now, I'm not talking Bible. I always let people know when I'm not talking Bible, I'm talking my opinion now. And somebody said, well, you might need to keep your opinion. Yeah. So what I'm getting ready to tell you now, in $1.09, we'll get you a cup of coffee at Sheets, all right? But I believe, well, let me say this. Studies have shown that people who pray live healthier lives than people who don't pray. Studies have shown that people who are sick and that have a community of people praying for them, that their healing process is a lot better. I mean, studies have shown that. So I might not be too far off in giving my opinion. I believe that when we believe in an almighty God, that when whatever situation we get in, that we got hope, that there is somebody that can get me out. There is somebody that can help me in this mess that I'm in. And you know what I believe happens? I believe that we got to feel a little bit better. A little bit better. Again, now you might not be delivered from whatever it is you're dealing with, but you got to feel a little bit better knowing that there's an all-powerful God who is absolute and who extends over all his creation. You know, there was a guy, he went to the barbershop to get a haircut. And while he was there getting the haircut, he started a dialogue with his barber. And they started talking about God. And the barber said, well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe there's a God. He said, well, why? He said, because there's all kind of sick people in the world. There's mistreated children. And if there was a God, he wouldn't let that happen. And so the guy said that he was trying to tell him everything, that yes, there is a God, and he didn't want to accept it. And so the guy got his hair cut. He went out, and he saw this man walking down the street with this scraggly beard and unkempt hair, and he had a thought. He went back into the barber, and he said, there are no barbers. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, there are no barbers. Well, why is that? He said, because I just saw a man with bushy hair and a scraggly beard, and if there were barbers, this man would have a haircut and his beard trimmed up. And so the guy said, well, you got a point there. You got a point. So just because there's sickness in the world, just because there's evil, and you know, again, you might have saw up on the list that I'm going to talk about, you know, the ravages of sin. Just because we have all these things in the world, that does not mean there is not a God. That doesn't mean there's not a God who's all powerful. And then I like, God is the architect and the designer. If you could put up Hebrews 3 and verse 4. Hebrews 3 and verse 4. We see that God is the architect and the designer. Look what this says. Every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is who? Is God. That when you look in this, you look in this universe and you see order and arrangement. You know, just think. You got the earth. Spin it on its axis. Right? I mean, it's just spinning. How in the world are we sitting here without flying off? Wow. Wait a minute. Wow. I forget how many miles an hour that we're spinning. I mean, the earth is spinning. And you got the moon that's following the spinning earth. And the moon is going around the earth every 29 to 30 days. Whoo! And then you got the earth and the moon going around the sun every 365 days. And then you got the earth, the moon, and the sun. Let me go back. The earth is spinning. And you got all this moving. It's not staying still. All of it is the moon, the sun, the earth. It's all moving. And there are other solar systems that are out there. Other galaxies that are out there. And all of it is. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. And you're going to tell me that that started by a Big Bang? I just got two questions. You know, what was here to bang and who banged it? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. He is the architect. He is the designer. Nothing exists. And nothing existed before he designed it and built it. Nothing. So as I close today, I came up with a series of questions. Not going to necessarily answer them. Some of them may answer themselves. But I would challenge you, sit down with your grandkids, sit down with your kids, and dialogue about answers to these questions. You know, again, my prayer is that this series that I'm doing revolutionize this church, revolutionize our thinking, revolutionize the lives of the families that are in this church. If there is no God, how did things begin? You cannot get something out of nothing. If there is no God, why is there order, complexity, and design? If things happened all by chance, if they all happened by accident, how come there is so much complexity in order and design? And that couldn't happen over billions of years. I mean, just think about the human body. And let me not talk about that. I got a whole sermon on that. We're going to say that, right? If there is no God, how do human beings know there is a right or a wrong? I mean, if there's no God, first of all, okay, the devil's not going to make you do the right thing. And man left to himself is not going to do the right thing. You know, you think about, you know, humanism, the belief that said man is his own God. Okay, let's buy humanism, right? Let's buy it. Okay, man is his own God. So then is it okay for a group of people to enslave another race of people? Well, that's humanism, right? That isn't that Darwin? What did Darwin say? Survival of the fittest. You know, so you look at that, who puts in the heart of people a sense of right and wrong? It's God, because God is a righteous God, and because God is one that's a moral God, and he has still within every person a sense of right or wrong. If there is no God, then why do atheists spend their time refuting someone who does not exist? Why waste your time? You know, why waste your time refuting somebody that doesn't exist? You know, there was a preacher. He was preaching one time, and he made the comment. He said that if you find me an atheist, I can show you a person that's a fool. And he was preaching from Psalm 14, verse 1, where the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So he preached this message, and he said, if you can prove, if you find me an atheist, I could prove in 10 minutes that that person is a fool. And so the next day, he was walking along, and somebody that was in the service saw him. And they said, well, did you say you can prove within 10 minutes if somebody is an atheist that they are a fool? He said, yes, I can prove it. He said, the man said, well, if you don't prove it, you know, I'm going to publish it in the papers that you're the biggest fraud in the world. And I'm going to let everybody know as a preacher that you are the biggest fraud. And the guy said, the preacher said, okay, well, find me an atheist and I'll prove it. And he said, well, I'm an atheist. He said, okay, very well. He said, do you believe in Christianity and do you believe in God? He said, no, Christianity is nothing and God is nothing. And he said, and I've been going around 12 years telling people that Christianity is nothing and God is nothing. And then the preacher said to him, he said, well, what would you say about a man who went around 12 years preaching against nothing? And the guy got mad and walked away. A fool. You're a fool. You're preaching against, if there's no God, what are you preaching against? Just live your life. Don't let it bother you. If there's no God, is life meaningless? Especially the death of a child. Think about that. That when a child dies, as evolution and atheists say, that they just go into nothingness. You know, I would like to believe that there's a loving God, that when a child dies, that that child's soul wakes up in the presence of a loving God and does not step off into eternal nothingness. If there is no God, then life is meaningless. If there is no God, what makes me any different than a cockroach or any other critter? We're just a part of the evolution. You know what? Think about this. If we're a part of the evolutionary chain, a million years from now, there's going to be people that don't even look like you. And you are going to be thought of as an animal, right? What do we look at the monkeys. You know, we look at the gorillas. We look at all the animals. Look, those are animals. You know, we all came from them. We all came from them. A million years from now, what are people going to say? Look at Glaze. Look at Collier. Look at Boston. Look at Taylor. We all came from them. Right? I mean, we're just all a part of this. We're all just like cockroaches, right? You know? Just think. That's all our life is worth. Makes no sense. If there's no God, who will care for my soul when I die? That when I leave, there's a God that's waiting for me. And there are loved ones that are waiting for me. They're going to embrace me in their heart. If there's no God, how can someone make the claim? How can someone make that claim that doesn't know everything? If you don't know everything, how can you make that claim? How can you make the claim that there is no God? If you don't know everything, how can you make that claim? You can't say that. You can't make that claim if you don't know everything.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Did God Stretch Out the Heavens or Was There a Big Bang? From our series titled The Great Showdown, God versus Man from the Book of Genesis. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Is There an Almighty God or Is Man His Own God? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Is There an Almighty God or Is Man His Own God? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Is There an Almighty God or Is Man His Own God? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.